Off the Ball Breakfast.
Where does the entrepreneurial spirit come from? Because a lot of people, if they were disgruntled with no spice bags and Coolock, they would just continue to look for places that have spice bags.
Or take to social media and give out about it and do nothing.
Yeah. So where does that come from?
I just think I have deeply ingrained bitterness in me, and it's not a desire to succeed. It's not the entrepreneurial spirit. It's just a spiteful spirit.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
All right, you're welcome along. It is the Ryan Line. It's Thursday. It's Nathan and Shane with you. How are you, Shane?
I'm great, Nathan. How are you?
I'm all right. I must start with an apology to some of our listeners. I think there were some technical difficulties with last week's recording, and it doesn't seem to have appeared in certain podcast feeds. Now, I'm told it has been fixed. So that means some people today, Shane, are going to get two for the price of one. But the great thing about this podcast is you could listen to it anytime, and in fact, it just gets better with age.
It is. It's like a wine, or I was going to say cheese, but cheese certainly doesn't get better with age, does
no,
it?
No, but we are like a very fine wine. And sometimes we might have drunk quite a bit of fine wine before we get into this recording.
Yeah, I usually do this around 10 a.m. and I'm fully drunk by the time we do most shows.
It's the best possible way. I'm going to get straight into it because we have a very long email to start. Mm. We don't get a huge amount of emails, but when we do, we know they're important, and this is a lengthy one, but I think is going to sum up a lot of the conversation that's going on around Irish golf, our Discord channel, and the Ryder Cup next year. Hey, Nathan and Shane, first time mailing, but I was so annoyed last night, I had to send a message. I'm a golf nut from a family of golf nuts, attend the Irish Open almost every year, have been to the Open many times, and generally spend most of my free time and money on golf. I've been looking forward to the Ryder Cup ever since it was announced, was hoping to bring my father and three golf mad kids down for at least a day, if not more. That was until the prices were revealed yesterday. I prepared myself for the possibility of paying 250-300 euro for an adult ticket, but it's nothing short of a disgrace that the adult tickets are 500 euro and the kids' tickets are also 500 euro. And this bit is in all capitals. 500 euro to bring an 8-year-old for one day. I see that there are cheaper tickets available for practice days, but nothing for the actual tournament. Is anyone going to hold the organisers to account for this? Will you ask the players how they feel about an 8-year-old having to pay 500 euro for a ticket for a golf tournament? I honestly think the organisers have misjudged what golf is about in this country. We like to take great pride in how accessible the sport is compared to other parts of the world. That illusion is now shattered. Really enjoy the pods, lads. Apologies for the length of the mail, but as you can tell, I'm a bit pissed off. That comes in from Marty.
Cook, Marty. Cook. You're absolutely right. They don't care about you, okay? I'm going to read you... Let me read you a tweet I sent yesterday that did numbers, Nathan, not to... That sounds horrible. Don't put that in... Pretend I was more humble and not so pathetic in the actual show. But look, here's what I tweeted. If you dream of attending a Ryder Cup, get a different dream. Four matches on the course at a time, impossible to see much, insane numbers of people inside the ropes to block your view, even if you get close, and now outrageous money, which is really, as Marty said, the biggest thing. It's just a bad spectator experience. Go to an Open instead. So, I'm completely with you, Marty. Like, I am somebody who will pay for an experience. I'll buy nice things sometimes. I'm a very cheap person normally, but I will pay for an experience if it feels like it's going to be a meaningful thing for me. However, there's a price beyond which I will not pay. Now, the Ryder Cup, paying $1,000 in Bethpage or whatever it was, or paying, the equivalent of probably $600 American here, that is absolutely not worth it. First of all, even if you had great seats, that would be in the back of your mind all day, that you were kind of built into paying this much. But the Ryder Cup is not good for spectators to watch at all. I mean, we have a question coming later, Nathan. I won't spoil it, but basically it's like you could see no golf if you don't plan the correct way, right? I mean, you could see nothing. So I think the prices at Bethpage and here are an insult. They're just trying to make as much money as they can. That is the way these things go. I would never pay money to go to a Ryder Cup under these circumstances, period.
Now, in that way, me and you aren't the best people to talk about this because we haven't had to pay money to go to a Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And I do feel that at times, having been there and experienced it and knowing the frustrations, but also having been, at most of the European Ryder Cup, say, being there for 6 days of the week. So you're there every single day. You might even be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're getting to see the practice days. You're getting to see the tournament days. you're working, it's long, you're not having a drink, you're not out with your mates, you're not having the crack, you're witnessing the experience rather than living the experience. So that is the only thing I would say for the Ryder Cup is a crap spectator experience, which I do think in comparison to other golf tournaments, it is. And for anyone we know what we're getting now in Ireland. You have the Irish Open experience we had last year at the K Club, which we've spoken about at length, of the Sunday and free entry for kids and what happened around Rory and that putt for the playoff on 18 and the atmosphere that generated and just the atmosphere of the entire week. The Open was slightly different at Portrush because, again, the golf is a little bit more serious and the players are all a little bit more serious and they're not stopping for autographs quite as much. So it's not as much of a full-on spectator part of the event as the Irish Open is, but still you're paying 100, 120 euro, 150 euro maybe for that, and you're getting to see Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, and you're getting to see golf that really matters. And okay, it's long days, it's one day, but I think there's no question it's going to sell out, and I'm sure the Irish allocation that goes on sale tomorrow is going to sell out. But even talking to people over the last 24 hours who, like Marty, sort of had in their head, I'll go to that because it is in that very top tier of world events that, particularly in this country where we absolutely love our golf and we watch an obscene amount of golf, that if the Ryder Cup is coming and we'll have at least two players playing, you'd expect, with McIlroy and Lowry, that we'd go and we'd get behind them and we'd enjoy it and we know how to enjoy these things. I think a lot of people are looking at that price and going, nah. No. I just can't justify 500 euro paying it now, 18 months away from the tournament. You're going to drop another 500 when you're there. Even for a day, you're going to buy something in the merch tent and you ain't getting nothing in the merch tent for less than 100 quid. Never mind. And, you know, Marty touched on something that, you know, I definitely feel very strongly about, which is this thing of there's no tickets for kids at all on tournament days. So, I have a golf mad 12-year-old who's been talking about the Ryder Cup for the last couple of years, watching Full Swing, you know, is watching what happened at Bethpage and thinking, I want to be a part of that. That looked like it was a bit crazy. I want to go there. And you're like, oh, yeah, we'll see. And now I'm like, no, I'll try and get a ticket for the practice day, but there's clearly not a hope in hell I am paying 500 quid to bring a 12-year-old down to a golf tournament. It's outrageous, but it's not surprising.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, I think the demographic for people who should buy a ticket are you rich or you know, incautious, and are you okay, like, setting up, sitting somewhere, probably drinking, getting drunk, and just enjoying the atmosphere. And the money is not so much that it will upset you if you end up not seeing much golf. If you check all those boxes, sure, go buy a 600 euro ticket, right? It's like, I remember the first time I spent more than $100 on a bottle of wine. It was like, you know, it was a nervous feeling. And it's like, I right now would not spend more than $1,000 on a bottle of wine. I wouldn't spend more than $200 on a bottle of wine. If I were rich, I would.
Is that a regular Friday night bottle of wine, or is this a special occasion bottle of wine?
Special occasion. So, okay. But I'm still like, even a special occasion, I'm not spending more than like $150, right? So, but if I were rich, I would, right? And I wouldn't care, and that would be totally fine. So I always think you're measuring the how much enjoyment you think you'll get from the experience versus the money you're going to pay, and whether the money you're going to pay is going to be a deterrent to that enjoyment. And in this case, it would be overwhelmingly sitting there going, I spent 500 euro on this and this sucks. I mean, that's what it's going to be. So I would say don't go. They certainly don't care about you. Like you said, Nathan, they're not making any deals for kids. They're basically telling you this is for rich people or people who are not rich but are going to put a serious debt in their finances, and we're okay with that.
And it's always been that way. It's maybe got more extreme, and obviously it's way past the rate of inflation how the price has gone for, say, the European Ryder Cups from Celtic Manor to Gleneagles to Paris to Rome to back to Ireland again. Like, it feels like it's doubling every 4 years, the cost of going to a day at the Ryder Cup. But I think back to something you said a couple of months ago, which stuck with me when we were sort of on about the greater world affairs and sort of the fear that those of us sort of growing up in privileged white Western society have had of the last few years, from COVID through to wars and questioning our existential existence. And why shouldn't we live in fear? Because loads of parts of the world consistently live in fear. That there's a bit of that with this as well, that actually not everybody has been able to go to these things before, and they've decided that's fine again. This isn't a, what's the word I'm looking for? This isn't a, oh, we're going to charge 50 quid because this is a tournament for the people. This is not a tournament for the people. This is a tournament for the rich. And you have to be comfortable with that. And if you're rich, the best way you can now show that off is by paying the 500 quid, getting your Instagram in 18 months and telling people you were there.
That's right. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, the starvation and hunger and violence they face in other parts of the world is exactly equivalent to not being able to go to the Ryder Cup.
Thank you. At least he said it. I didn't want to say it. I wanted to let you say it.
Endorse 100%. Yeah.
Look, there's a lot in Marty's email that I think has been all over the Irish media. And I was probably somewhat similar. I thought it was, in fact, I would nearly thought it must have been illegal, the question they were asking when the official email came out last year to register your interest. And one of the questions was, how much would you be willing to pay for tickets? Why did everyone write 500 euro?
Yeah, everybody wrote 500 euro.
It was a very Irish thing.
No,
we were joking. Ha, 500 euro. Idiots, as if. As if.
Let me ask you this, Nathan. I want you to analyze this as an Irish person, because one thing I saw from Irish people was a sense of optimism before, just like in Marty's email, that the price would be lower. Where if you had asked me, I've been like, this is actually like, I thought maybe it would have even been higher. But it seems like Irish people believe it's almost like, yeah, an expensive Ryder Cup. That's a crass American thing. When it comes to Ireland, we're going to have like 50 euro tickets for the kids and all this stuff. What's going on there?
I think there's a, is there a naivety still amongst Irish people that we think people like us more than they do, and that they will treat us as a special case? That that okay. A sort of belief that the reason the Ryder Cup is coming to Ireland is because we're such great supporters, and it's almost a reward. We're not going because it can make us more money than anywhere else. We're going because you've given so much to the game of golf. And you know what? It might even grow the game of golf. Shane, this could grow the game of golf. And that's why they're coming here. That's why they're coming to the JP McManus owned Adair Manor, is to give a little bit back to the people for Ireland, for all that Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry and Patrick Harrington and the Irish have given to the game of golf, and that they were coming here and they were going to let us at it. And after the disgraceful scenes that your Americans produced at Bethpage, they were coming to Ireland because we'd give you a proper Cade Mila Fáilte, and we'd treat everyone with respect, and we'd all laugh and joke, and we'd have a few pints, and we'd have the crack, and we'd all be let in for, 150 quid.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good.
And that'd keep the riffraff out as well, you know? I assumed it, when you looked at the prices for Rome, it was going to be in the 3 to 350 range, potentially. But like 500 euro is by far and away the most expensive sporting ticket there will have ever been in this country. And maybe it's going to trend in that direction, like within a year of that Ryder Cup. The European Championship is being held in Dublin. There's going to be seven, eight games here around that. And I don't know what the entry level price will be, but we've seen at the World Cup, that entry-level ticket, which will be advertised by UEFA for those games, will probably be 80 euro or 100 euro, but it'll turn out there's like 400 of those tickets, whereas there's 40,000 tickets at 450 quid, and it's one match, whereas it's one day. So, it's going to sell out, there's no question. Part of everybody involved might be happier if loads of Irish people don't buy tickets, so that we have lots of mega rich Americans flying in their private jets to Shannon and spending all your money in our bars and restaurants in a way that we won't. Because if I'm sending 500 quid, I'm probably bringing me sandwiches with me. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not giving those bastards any more money. It didn't say, know this, at Bethpage, part of the gig, and the USGA have started doing this, have they, or the PGA of America, that at for your 750 quid ticket, you got free food and drink.
That was part of it, yeah. And I don't know the exact specifics of it, but I almost want to say it was unlimited, and that was kind of part of it. I don't know if it was every ticket, though, or if it was certain special tickets. So I'm not sure, but, I mean, to me, that's like, that's such a, like, you know, with inflated sports food and drink prices, that is probably something good. But at normal, you know what I mean? Like, normally to have a meal and get a few drinks, you shouldn't be spending more than $40 or $50, right? So that is almost like, oh, cool, but it's still vastly overinflated price, I think. So that almost made me roll my eyes a little bit more. But I guess it's some kind of perk. I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, it's, and we're talking as two people who probably end up there on our press passes and not having had to pay. So again, easy to say, don't do it. Don't spend the money. I know you'll know, like, you'll feel like you're missing out on something big, and a lot of people you'll know will be there and they'll all be having a great time and the drinks will be flowing and all of that sort of stuff. The Ryder Cup is a TV experience. It's best enjoyed on your couch for a long period of time. And you know what you could do? You could, you know, spend 200 quid and go to another really nice golf course, something like that. They'll all probably be booked up that week, though, because all the bloody Americans will be here. God damn it. This thing is a disaster.
I had a lot of people respond to my tweet saying that they, you know, someone from Wisconsin, they're like, I flew to New York, got a hotel, played Bethpage, you know, had a nice meal and flew back for less than it would have been of price to go for one day to the Ryder Cup.
Well, there is a follow-up question. Would you pay 500 euro for a round of golf at Adair Manor or one day of the Ryder Cup? I know you have to stay to play, but question still stands.
Neither. I, you know, that's just too much money for both of those for me. I mean, Adair, Nathan, famously, you know, I turned down free rounds of golf at some of Ireland's best courses. So I'm the wrong guy to ask. I don't really care about nice courses, but no, I certainly wouldn't spend $500 to play at Adair Manor or Euros or anything. And I definitely wouldn't do it to watch a day of the Ryder Cup. So if gun to head to do one or the other, play, I guess, because you can. You know, then you're having an experience at least that's fun.
As the questioner pointed out, currently, and I don't even know if you can play golf at Adair Manor at the moment, whether the course is currently being renovated ahead of the Ryder Cup or whether it's reopened, but certainly previously you had to stay the night in the hotel as well if you wanted to play golf on the course. And, you know, you're talking the guts of 1,500 quid to stay in the hotel. So, yeah. We look forward to the Ryder Cup here on Golf Weekly. And bringing
we'll be inside the ropes.
As I've told before, what was almost one of my great days on a golf course, ruined by my predecessor, Joe Malloy, at the Golf Nacional in 2018. And we ended up following Tiger and Spieth and JT on their practice round. And I don't think we were meant to be inside the ropes. And somehow, two holes in, Joe managed to get into a row with a photographer who pointed him out to the steward and said, those guys there are standing where they're not meant to be, and they kicked us out. So ever since then, the inside the ropes has been out of bounds.
Tough.
I'm going to be stuck with all these people paying 500 quid for a ticket. Oh, my God. My God. How would you feel sitting in the stands by the 18th green after paying 500 euro and no matches make it that far, asks AMB. Well, before Shane speaks, I will say this much. You're not going to be sitting in the stands at the 18th green if you just paid 500 euro.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be paying more if you want to sit in the stands at the 18th green.
Yeah. And there's a good chance in those days of, you know, those days of four matches, which is every session until Sunday, there's a good chance. There's a good chance you won't see anything make it to 18. I think I did the stats on this. It's something like 25% to 30% of matches will make it that far, maybe less. So, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, right? I mean, you have to, like I said, you have to be comfortable paying a ton of money, getting drunk, being in the atmosphere with other people being drunk and happy, and be okay with not seeing any action. I mean, if you don't go in with that mindset, don't go, because you're going to be in for a miserable time.
And look, it's going to be great. And most people are going to pay the 500 quid far in advance, are going to be comfortable with everything you've just described, are going to go down, meet some of their mates, have a few drinks, cheer when they want to cheer, abuse the Americans when they want to abuse the Americans, in a very polite manner, of course. I just have a bloody good time, and this will pass, and it'll sell out, and it'll be packed, and it'll look great, and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah. As long as it sells out, they'll keep doing this. They'll keep doing this as long as it sells out. That's the bottom line.
Sinnoh62 Serious question for Shane. Well, maybe not. If you were compelled, at gunpoint, for example, to punch either one of the following two players hard on the nose, which one would it be? Patrick Reed, and he then uses several words that I don't think I'm allowed to use in this podcast, or Sergio Garcia, again uses several words I'm not sure if I'm allowed to use in this podcast.
I'm a peaceful man. I'm a pacifist. I don't believe in violence. I'd say pull the trigger. I won't punch anybody. I won't be compelled to punch anybody. Sorry to my wife and kids. I just can't do it. I simply cannot strike a blow.
I'm a weak man.
That's not in self-defense. No, we'll fight mightily if attacked first, but
okay.
We will not aggressively attack somebody who isn't expressly, you know, deserving it.
If hypothetically, as opposed to what we've just been talking about, if hypothetically you did punch one of them, which of them would you be more fearful of their response from?
Reed. By far, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. No, you wouldn't want to get into a scrap with Patrick Reed.
No, or like even, Sergio, I don't know what Sergio would do. It'd be an interesting question.
Well, what would happen is you'd punch Patrick Reed, he'd punch you back, batter you, and then sue you at the end of it, which would be the difficulty. So, you know, you got to take this into account as well. It's a good question, Sinnoh. Also has a question for Nathan, which I'm wary of getting into. Can you correctly pronounce heinous? Unlike everyone else in Irish media. How does everyone else in Irish media pronounce? It's a heinous crime. Is that the correct pronunciation?
That's correct. Well, at least here it's correct.
Oh, I think
do they say
heinous is what Arthur is telling me they say. A heinous crime. Yeah. Oh, it is a heinous. Yeah, I'd be more heinous.
Well, you also, nobody in Ireland can pronounce
here we go.
The name of R-A-H-M correctly.
John Rahm.
Yeah, no, that's incorrect.
Rahm,
there you go.
John Rahm.
Yeah.
John Rahm. It's John just Rahm, our accent.
Yeah, well, but it's not totally, right? Because you can say Rahm. Don't
you come over like here and tell us how to pronounce things?
I mean, I wouldn't tell you how to pronounce your own people's things, but he's not Irish, so you should,
Four put stab. Do you own a master's gnome? And if so, what is wrong with you?
No, I did a video on the master's gnomes. I mean, speaking of Ryder Cup tickets, the Augusta merch, I mean, we've talked about that. That's another one going the way of full-on, you know, unrepentant capitalism. That's, you know, the Masters gnomes are crazy. They might be dead now. I think this is supposed to be the last year. That's what we kept hearing from sources. So
it's funny how these things develop, Shane, isn't it? That, like, Masters merch has always been a thing, and you always know when someone has been to the Masters ever because they're wearing some form of Masters merch. And my great regret of being at the Masters was not buying more merch. So I did, you know, I could transfer my Masters clothing so it doesn't look like I'm wearing the same thing all of the time. But you might have, I'm sure we're talking to some of your Golf Digest colleagues who were there. Something that came out was that on Thursday morning for the honorary starters, that there was less of a crowd than normal around them because people were at the merch tent trying to get in early and get first dibs, I guess, on the gnomes and everything else. So people are nearly literally going to the Masters just to buy the gear to say they were there as much as enjoying the Masters.
Yeah, I think that was, and this is a big problem. It's part of the reason they're stuck between two worlds right now. There's the you know, the August Augusta, if you will, the like sort of refined, dignified Southern gentleman, blah, blah, blah. That is their image, and that is what they so successfully sell. And then there is a merchandise operation that makes them $70 million in a week. And they are torn between two worlds. So it's like, oh, we may stop the gnomes because the lines are getting too long for merch and the gnomes are part of it. And it's turning it into a Black Friday kind of atmosphere. On the other hand, the lines were worse this year. I think with, you know, get rid of the gnomes, they're still going to be bad. Like you said, fewer people at the honorary starters. Everybody, it's becoming a circus. And yet they're making so much money from it that they are kind of pulled into this hyper-modern world as well. So, I think in the end, guess what? They're going to choose money just like everybody else does.
Arthur has just pointed out that you can buy a gnome now for €500 on eBay. So if you have a gnome, you can get yourself a Ryder Cup ticket in exchange.
There you go. That's a good way to
do
business.
That's what we need. Marty, you need to find someone to get you a gnome at next year's Masters, flog it, and you're in.
All right, Nathan, they sold at Golden Age Auctions, they sold a 2016 gnome this year 2016 was the first year of the gnomes, and they made a very limited amount compared to, you know, they didn't have them the next year, and then they've had them every year since 2018, where they've made far more. How much do you think they sold this 2016 gnome for?
Well, if a regular one is going for about 500 quid, was there something special about, well, 2016 was...
They were just rare. It's rare.
Okay, it wasn't the Danny Willett one.
That was the year before. No. That was the year after.
2016 was... Was 2016 not Danny Willis? It was 2016.
Wasn't 2017, Willett?
Oh, maybe 2017. I thought it was 2016. Yeah. We go. It's fine. Arthur, Google it there quick. I'm going to say $8,500.
No, it was Danny Willett. You're right. It was $23,000.
Yeah. See, I'm not one for possessions, so I don't put a value on these things. Why though? Again, by that I mean, I wouldn't have no interest in owning a 2016 Masters Gnome unless I had a story behind it, not just that I could afford to pay 25 grand for it.
Yeah. Well, now you buy them so you can sell them for that. They're only $50 at Augusta. So buy one, sell it online for 10x at least.
Eamon B. If Liv folds, what impact do you see it having on the PGA Tour prize money?
I like the idea that they just immediately go back down. It's like, all right, our competition's gone. You fools are making, it's $100,000 now if you finish first. I think it's going to stay steady at least. I don't think you go back down. I think what you could see is slower growth. I think that would be maybe the thing. But I think what they want to do, I just don't see them cutting back as a response. Like, we no longer have any competition. We withstood what is the most ridiculous, dangerous enemy that there could be, which is an illogical actor with $1 trillion. Now, if we withstood that, nobody who actually wants to make money could ever defeat us. Therefore, we don't have to pay as much because we're now the only game in town. If you don't like it, screw you. I don't think they'll do that. I think they will, but I just think it will be kind of like steady. At the same time, you know, you're looking at a new TV deal coming up that is going to be, you would think, far less than the previous TV deal. You're looking at some different economic factors that might mean there is less money available. And a lot of this surge in money was to compete with Liv, and it came from private equity itself. So who knows? You know, I mean, you're seeing cuts at the PGA Tour among staff. I mean, they're kind of tightening the belt in certain ways, and golfers are surely overpaid. So maybe there is a come to Jesus moment, a sort of where we can't pay you this much in perpetuity. So I don't know. It's a good question. It'd be fun to see.
Jimbo asks, lads, Scotty, what's going on? Brutal shot in the playoff. Greatest of generation can't be losing to Fitz in a playoff.
I mean, that's disrespectful to Fitz in a way. Fitz is playing unbelievable golf right now. I mean, he got into the playoffs, Scotty did. You know, I think Scotty is close. Scotty is really, really, really close, and I think he's going to have a tremendous rest of the year with at least one major. So I think any worries about Scotty Scheffler as a golfer are misplaced. Fitzpatrick is unbelievable right now, and I'm loving watching him. I think he's going to win a major. I'm running out of majors for the people that I'm guaranteeing are going to win them. But Scotty and Fitz are, you know, going to compete for sure in the next three. And I don't think there's any shame in losing to Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, yeah, it was a bad iron shot, but so it goes. I mean, that happens. He played a really, really good tournament before that.
It's a bit like that time Tiger lost to Billy Mayfair at the Nissan Open in 1998, isn't it?
Exactly like that.
Nobody ever talks about that, do they?
I don't even know.
It was the only playoff that Tiger ever lost on the PGA Tour. Tiger's playoff record, 12 playoffs, 11 wins. And lost to Billy Mayfair at the Nissan Open on the first playoff hole. So the Nissan Open is now the Genesis. But won every other playoff on the PGA Tour.
Because this is the podcast where I correct your pronunciation, it's Nissan.
Oh, we're on the verge of hanging up here.
I know, I'm just making Nathan mad right now.
Sorry, if I started calling it Nissan on this podcast, I would be getting far more abuse from the listeners than you, so I will put up with it.
Okay.
In Ireland, right, it's Nissan.
Okay. Okay, look, if you're choosing them over me, that's your choice, Nathan.
Craig G, final question. Question for Shane. Should there be a family World Cup? Fitzpatrick's versus Højgaard's. Who else is getting in?
Oh, yeah. Tiger and Charlie, you know, the Hawses, all of Davis Love's all the entire Hasses, family.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they sort of, I guess they kind of have this in the father and son, but this is brothers.
The father's son.
Brooks.
The
Brooks Dalys. And his brother.
Brooks and his brother, the Koepkes, Daly, John Daly and his son. Scotty
could probably play with his sister and he'd still win this.
His sister works for the PGA Tour. Did you know that?
What? That's a bit of nepotism.
I learned that at the Players Championship this year.
And what does Scotty's sister do for the PGA Tour?
It's a good question. That I don't want to speculate because I don't know exactly. But I saw her and someone was like, that's Scheffler's sister. She works here. I was like, oh my, how about that?
Right. It's going to be a short World Cup if it's just brothers we're going for in this. With the Fitzpatrick. You'd have the Fitzpatrick's. Whatever happened, Chase? Is Chase left Liv? Remember Brooks sort of brought him along for the ride?
Yeah, I don't know. Where is he, like on the Asian tour now or something? I have no idea what he's up to. That's weird. It must be a weird feeling to have a brother who's that much better than you. Well, but also, it's not like you're in the same profession, right? It's different if he's a chef somewhere. But he's also a professional golfer and just sort of in a different league. Crazy.
All right. That is where we're going to leave it for this week's Rhineline. Not the greatest question to finish on. Shane Doe has gone easy on our listeners this week. Nothing got you too riled up. He's comfortable with the 500 euro. Go spend it. You'll have the best day of your life is the message from Shane Ryan. And you might even meet Shane Ryan. And you can't put a price on that.
I think they should volunteer. I think they should donate more to the DP World Tour. I think if just 500, throw in an extra 200 so they, you know, can keep running the Belgian Open or whatever.
I don't even think there is a Belgian Open. That's how dire things are right now. Shane Ryan, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.